that you're present, your Spirit's present. We thank you, Lord, and give you the praise and glory for every miracle, every healing. We know we are directly connected to heaven today. We come in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are our Lord. We receive you as our healer. And we give you praise and thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, that every person will be healed of every sickness and every disease. We pray, Lord, for all the people watching all over the world on God Channel. It's such a wonderful thing that we can have a meeting right here and people all over the world can be healed at the same time because you're so marvelous and because you're present everywhere with your healing power. And so we pray for all those who are around the world that are watching, believing for healing. We know that your Spirit's there. We know the Word brings faith and they'll receive healing just like we do. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. There's an air of anticipation in this place. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to take our medicine today. Let's look at Proverbs 4:20 and read about that medicine. We're just going to take the medicine, the Word of God, and let God fill us up. And then we're going to have faith for healing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:20. You know this scripture. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to, first of all, pay attention to what God says about healing. Let them, the words, not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them. Well, that would be me. That would be you. They are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, we can live this way at home on the Word of God. We can just take the Word of God like medicine, take it just as regularly as you'd take a prescription, or more so, every day. You take it every day, and faith rises up in your heart every day. And so we're going to do that here, but we're going to do it all the time. And that's described in verse 23. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Faith is in your heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith resides in your spirit man, in your heart. So we keep the Word day by day by day in our hearts by putting it in our eyes, in our ears, and it gets down into our heart. And that's the way we live well. That's the way we live without sickness and disease and whole. And without poverty or anything else that's under the curse. Because we have been redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. So welcome to all of you all over the world. We're just so honored that you could be with us today. And we appreciate God Channel doing this, putting these meetings on the air. Hallelujah. What a day we live in, huh? We can just sit right here and talk to people all over the world. Think of that. Wow. What Jesus could have done with that. But you know, he's got it to work with now. Hallelujah. So let's go over what we're going to do is just go over the healing scriptures and put faith in our heart. And we're going to start with, let me read you this. I haven't read this in a long time. These are just some neat things that I've come across about healing. One of them, well, for one thing, the first thing is salvation denotes deliverance, preservation, material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. It denotes pardon, protection, liberty, health, restoration, soundness, and wholeness. All of that is wrapped up in the word salvation. So part of your salvation is to be whole. Part of your salvation is to be restored. Part of your salvation is health. Glory to God. And then I love this story, Never Too Late. This is the name of this little paragraph. Justice Duplessis, do you remember hearing about what was his brother's name? He was really well known. I can't think of it right now, but he was well known more than Justice, but we knew Justice better. And the brother was called the Father of Pentecost. I'll think of it later, but I don't know what it was right now. But Justice Duplessis' father didn't believe in using doctors, so that's the way they were raised. And I heard Justice himself tell the story. His wife wanted him to call one so that there would be no autopsy. She's concerned about that, I guess. The doctor went ahead and gave him the death certificate. Church gathered round and prayed. He was at death's door. He broke into a sweat and rose up healed. Woo! Glory to God! He took a shower, then he milked the cows and walked to the doctor's office to take back the death certificate. Hey! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Now, who healed him? Jesus! Who's our healer? Jesus! I just gave you that so you'd know it's never too late. You can't be too far gone for Jesus to heal you. Isn't that a great story? Don't you know that doctor fell out when the guy walked in there? Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is what John Lake said about divine health and divine healing. Divine healing is the removal by the power of God of the disease that comes upon the body. But divine health is to live day by day, hour by hour in touch with God, so that the life of God flows into the body, just as the life of God flows into the mind or flows into the spirit. So the way we want to live is in contact with God every day. And let God's life go into us through His Word, going in our eyes and in our ears and settling up in our heart, bringing faith and restoration. We should live without sickness and disease. And I believe we can. I mean, people have done it before for sure. Ken and I I'm 67, he's 72. We're not on any prescription drugs. We don't have any problems. Glory to God. If something comes, we're tried every once in a while, but we get on the Word, we get on faith. We say, "You're not coming in here in Jesus' name. Jesus Himself bore my sickness and carried my disease. You get out in Jesus' name. I'm not taking it." You know, you have to make a stand. You can't just be a little wimp and let everything come over you. You can't let the devil mess up your money, steal from you, give you problems and harassment. What do you do with the devil? You tell him what to do in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is you want him to stop doing, you tell him to stop it in Jesus' name. That he doesn't touch you, you've been redeemed. We're a redeemed one, hallelujah. Glory to God. We've been redeemed from poverty, everything under the curse. We've been redeemed from sickness, disease of all kinds. Every sickness, it says, and every disease is under the curse. And then it says that Jesus Himself redeemed us from the curse. How did He do it? He took the curse for me. He took the curse for you. Glory to God. So that in Him we're free, and in Him we're healed. And those watching today or people here, somebody might have drugged you here this morning. You might not ever have made Jesus the Lord of your life. Oh, don't go another day. I'm telling you, it's the difference between daylight and dark. I'll just get a testimony here. How many of you can testify that since you've been born again, your life has drastically changed? Your outer life, I'm talking about. For the better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Cameras, see all those people? We're telling you, we're telling everybody watching today, Jesus is the answer. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go through some healing scriptures, and we're going to start with the 91st Psalm, which is a long life psalm. I believe in long life and strong life. As I read the Word, that's what I see that is available for us. So why should we quit early, and why should we let the devil take our life when Jesus has given us life, eternal life, and we can live with life in our spirit, that eternal life in our spirit, and dominate sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Dominate poverty. We can dominate fear. We don't have to be afraid of the economy, of sickness, of disease, of plagues. We've got angels that watch over us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed from the whole curse. I believe in long life and strong life. I believe we ought to live out the full number of our days, finish all we're called to do, and then leave here. Leave. Just leave at the first opportunity. First time after you finish your course, you can leave. But we want to get up to heaven, and we want Jesus to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to get up there and have him say, "Well." No, we want to hear, "Well done." We want to run out the full number of our days. We don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be sick to die. All you have to do to die, for your body to die, is for you to leave. You leave, and there's going to be a body there. But it doesn't have to be a sick body when you leave. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we need to get over thinking, "Well, you know, I'm old and it's time. This is just the way it is." No, it's not the way it is. Jesus bore your sickness. If you're 110 today, He bore your sickness and carried your diseases. So it's okay for you to go on, but you don't have to go sick. You don't have to leave a sick body. You can leave a well body. You can leave a body that looks so good when people walk by your casket, they say, "Boy, doesn't she look good? You know, she looks better than the last time I saw her." Because they'll dress you up, paint you up, buy you a new outfit, but you won't even be there. Hallelujah! You'll be gone. What does the Scripture say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's read the 91st Psalm and go through some long life things. I believe in long life from what I can understand and see in the Bible. I believe we ought to live at least 120 years. And if we're not satisfied, I believe we could live longer. But most of us probably would be satisfied. All right. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide," and the word in your margin, or my margin, says lodge, "shall lodge under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, people out here in the world that don't know God, don't know they are, if they have angels working for them, they don't know it, but if they don't know it, they probably are stopping the angels from working by their unbelieving words. But we know that we have a secret place under the covering, the shadow of the Most High God. I'm telling you, if you didn't know anything else but that, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide," or stay, lodge, "under the shadow of the Almighty." But that doesn't just happen automatically. There's things we do, or there's things we don't do. This psalm, as we read it, you'll see that it is for the obedient. It's not for the rebellious. It's for the obedient. It's for those that belong to God and that do what He says. That's how you abide. Abiding is obeying. So that's why it's so important for you and me to do what God tells us to do. I mean, you know, you might just be going along one day, just doing, having your job, secular job, and the Lord called you into the ministry. And you're not sure you want to go in the ministry. And you don't know how to go in the ministry. You don't have any money to go in the ministry. So it could be you could decline. But if you do, you just lost your place. You know, you just lost your place in that secret place. Because that secret place is obeying. Abiding is obeying. And you know, none of us know what to do when God calls us or sends us somewhere or does what. We just go, what? How do you do it? By faith. What's faith? That's believing what He says. He says, I'll be with you. Go. So what do? You go. Amen. So whatever the Lord tells us to do, we need to follow through on. Not just on major things like what we do in life, but everything. If the Lord says, begin to do this. If He says, begin to pray more. Begin to do this or do that. Or if He tells you to pastor a church. Or whatever He tells you to do in your life. Or maybe, you know, just talking to us about where we're missing it. Don't do that. God tells us to stop doing certain things. Why? Because those things aren't good. He'll never lead you in a bad direction. Every time God leads you, it's going to be for the better. It's because He's trying to get you into a better stream of blessing. Glory to God. And so we have to do what? We have to trust the Lord. And if He tells us to do something, we might not know how we can do it. We might not think we can do it. There came a day when I had taught on healing once or twice. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Ken in a meeting. And He said, and I thought, okay, I've done it. I was impressed to teach on healing. I did it once or twice. I'm not sure how many. I think it was once. And I thought, okay, I taught on healing. So, because I've always been in the background up to that point. And I thought, okay, I've done it. Great. So in the next meeting in Florida, Ken prophesied. He hadn't prophesied to me many times like that, but he prophesied. And he said, Gloria, the Lord wants this healing school to continue until He comes. So I guess the Lord was just finishing me off right there. Like, don't mention it to me again. I was totally shocked and unprepared. And I didn't want to do it because I really wasn't comfortable speaking. And I'd rather, much rather listen than speak. And so but you know, what are you going to do? You're going to just teach healing until you go or He comes. And He said until He comes. So there you have it. What do? You do what you're told to do. And you know, it's been the greatest blessing. It's been a blessing to me personally. I've enjoyed it. I've grown. It's made demands on me, but it's made me grow. And whatever God tells you to do, that's what you need to do. And that's where you'll be better off. So, you know, I don't know why the Lord brought that up today, except that the best place for healing is in the will of God. The best place to stay healed and prosperous and blessed and out from under the curse is doing what you're told to do. So and that comes up right here. He shall abide, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Most High, or lodge under the shadow of the Most High. We're not going out and coming in. We're not, you know, living for the world one day and repenting and doing that. If you're doing that, well, certainly repent till you get it straight, but that's not really the best plan. The best plan is to get under that shadow and abide. To abide is to obey. You begin to obey what God says to you. Whatever He says, you do it. And if you spend time in the Scripture, and if you see something there that's different from what you're doing, and you realize I'm not obeying God in that, what do? You change. That's abiding. Abiding is obeying, and that's who this psalm's written to. He that dwells under the shadow, he that dwelleth in the secret place. So it's a place you just can't get into. Not anybody can walk in there. Anybody can believe in there. Anybody can go in there, but you're not going to fall into it. You're going to do it as you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And here's what that person says and does. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. So this place under the shadow is not an automatic place. It doesn't come just because you're born again. It manifests. Your protection manifests because you abide and you do what the Lord says. That's why it's so important to stay in the Word and to be correctable. Let the Word change you. I mean, you should be as quick to change situations in your life that you realize aren't pleasing to God at home with the Scripture as you are in a service. That's why we stay in the Word every day, because we want to keep things straight. Amen? And so when we're corrected, what do? We change. Whether we want to, whether we don't, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, and that's the way to stay in the safe place, to stay in this abiding place. And in that abiding place is health and blessing and all things good. I will say of the Lord. So this person has to talk. He has to say something. He has to take the Lord. How did you get born again? You said, I make Jesus the Lord of my life, or something to that effect. You had to give God that place in your life. You said it, and you exercised your faith, and when you did, Jesus came into your life, and you were born again. Well, the same thing works in prosperity. It works in protection. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. So we take God as our refuge, and we have faith in Him for that. We believe for that. That's how you abide. Anybody can do it. You do what you're told. You have faith. You make Jesus the Lord of your life. You have faith. You follow Him. You do what you're told. In Him will I trust. In Him will I believe. In Him will I have confidence. That's how you abide. Surely, and then here's what happens when you do that. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Surely, when you abide, when you say you're saying the right things, you say the Lord protects you, you say you're trusting in the Lord, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And who's that? The devil. From the snare of the devil. He's the one that goes around and fouls things up. He's the fowler. And from the pestilence, the noisome pestilence, the bad pestilence, sickness and disease. Right here you can see deliverance from every situation that this modern world, every danger that even this modern world still has. The noisome pestilence would be deliverance from biological warfare. From somebody letting off things in this country that would cause sickness, disease, plagues. In that refuge, you'd be protected from bombs. You'd be protected. You know, we hear testimonies of people from World War II in England and how they were protected from the bombings and from all the wars. You'd have testimonies like that. And from everyday life, you have testimonies like it. You and I, we're abiding in the secret place. We're safe. It's a place of refuge. We're in a refuge of the presence of God. I like to say we're in a bubble. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are in a bubble of protection. And that means from sickness, from disease, from any other kind of harm, bombs, terrorist attacks, whatever could come up. You can't find anything, and the devil can't invent anything that's not covered in the 91st Psalm. God saw to that. Surely, when I abide, when I say, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence, that sickness, disease, every kind of plague. He shall cover thee with His feathers, with His wings, in other words. He'll cover you. Those that trust in Him will be covered, protected, hovered over. I know when I was a younger mother and my son John was a teenager, and he was a wild teenager, and he liked to go fast, and he'd turn things over, and he'd have wrecks and all that. Well, I was believing for him. Of course, Ken and I were believing for him. And I just was so thankful to the Lord for the 91st Psalm. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, and you'll not be afraid of the terror of the night. Hallelujah. This protects you, this refuge, this trust, This being delivered from the snare of the fowler protects us from sickness, disease, car wrecks, disasters, you name it. I understand there's a new disaster movie coming out. I don't know what it is, and I don't plan to watch it, but it would just protect you from whatever's in there. Whatever the devil can come up with, that this refuge gives you protection. Hallelujah. We're in a bubble. We're protected, glory to God. We're protected from plagues and disease. If we walk, now all of this, and you'll see it in here, it's trusting. I mean, if you walk by faith on the 91st Psalm, you can be delivered from everything that's in there. But if you just read it and you don't take it, when you take the word, you put it in your eyes and your ears, it gets in your heart, and you say it, you say, I live in the refuge, you say, Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, then that's what takes place in your life. You believe it and you say so. That's your authority. That's your decision. Hallelujah. Okay. So at any rate, John turned out to be a fine man. And he lived through every wreck. Glory to God. He turned things over. And, but he liked to go fast and whatever. But he survived. His mother and daddy believed God, and he's a fine man. In fact, he's over the business area of the ministry and has been for many, many years. Great father himself. He shall cover thee with his feathers or his wings. Under his wings shall you trust. That's faith. So this abiding, this great place of deliverance from sickness, disease, and every curse is brought about by your believing. I receive that. I receive my healing today. I believe that Jesus bore my healing. My sickness and my diseases. I believe that I'm safe in every situation. So faith, it depends on your faith, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, or flee for refuge, one translation says. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Okay, so his word is a shield to us. Glory to God. His word is a shield and buckler, armor. Armor is, that's the word for armor. And encircles you. A shield, they say, was three-sided, but armor comes from, have you ever heard of an armadillo? That shell on them, that round thing, that's how that word for armor means encircled, cover. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. We're covered. We're covered from, we're protected from epidemic diseases or any kind of disease. Anything that's under the curse, we've been redeemed from it. Glory. And you know the Bible says every sickness and every disease is under the curse. That's in Deuteronomy 28. So because of that, we have verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid. Now, if you're afraid, your armor's got holes in it because you're not believing it. If you're afraid, your bubble's got some cracks in it because you've got to have faith to live here in this place. But it does say that sickness and disease and all those things are under it. Pestilence in verse 6. So we should believe for divine health all the time. And we should not be expecting sickness and disease. And if you have sickness and disease, we'll show you from the word today that it's not God's will for you if you're a believer. If you believe in the Lord. Now, if you're not a believer, God's will for you is to be a believer. How do you do that? Well, you give Jesus your heart. You make him the Lord of your life. And it's got a lot of perks. Prosperity, blessing. The whole blessing includes everything. Prosperity, healing, well-being. Everything you can find. Everything good you can find under the blessing in Deuteronomy. So it's got perks, glory to God, and you just need to take the plunge. I mean, wouldn't it? How many of you can testify that you would just simply despise to go back to that old life you had before you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Glory to God. Now, if you're here and you've never done that, where would you ever find this many people that would lie for nothing? They're telling you the truth. It is the difference between daylight and dark. Living in God and living out here in the world under the thumb of the devil, it's the pits out there. Don't go there. Okay, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence, disease, contagious epidemic diseases that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. That could be, and then it goes on to say, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. We have people in the audience today who were in the thick of 9/11. And they didn't get touched. I have testimony right here in this book of one man who ran through that muck and cloud, and nothing touched him. He didn't. When he got home, he said that he had a white shirt on that morning. And when he got, and he ran out of his office through all that cloud that we saw on television. And when he got home, he said his shirt did not have anything on it. And you've seen pictures of all that soot or whatever it was coming all over that area. And his shirt was just as bright and clean as when he left his office. And he ran home. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, the 91st Psalm works. We just have to cooperate with it by being obedient, by believing it, by expecting it, by not tolerating fear in our lives. So it says, thou shalt not be afraid. That's one of the things you have to get over if you want to live in divine protection and divine health. If you're afraid of sickness and disease, you're pulling it to you. But if you believe what the Bible says, that he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and by his stripes we were healed, then you can go free. Hallelujah. It's what you believe that takes place in your life. How do we become believers? Just like we're doing today. We've already made Jesus the Lord of our lives, and now we to further our believing and our faith, we go to the Word of God and we just take it literally. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we can all be faith giants if we want to. And I want to. And Ken and I have been walking by faith for a lot of years. You have to keep walking. You have to keep energizing your faith with the Word of God. You can't live on last year's Word and have strong faith. That's why I believe we should spend some time in the Word every day. Because we need our faith every day. And we don't need to just go along, get all down, get in trouble, get sick, and then have to climb out of that. We need to stay up here. We need to stay above the fray, so to speak, in faith, in the Word. And you can do that with a continual dose of God's Word. You can keep your faith up high. Glory to God. And you can keep free. And then when a temptation comes, or when a symptom comes, I didn't say we didn't have symptoms, but I say when we do have that come, we say, no, you don't. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke disease. You have to learn to talk to things. Well, people might think I'm crazy. Well, they probably think you're crazy anyway. So you might as well be well and strong and prosperous and go for the whole load. Hallelujah. And who cares what people think? They might think you, they might talk like you're crazy, but when they get sick, guess who they call? They want you to pray for them. That's right. So we're not afraid. We don't have fear. We have to have faith to be in this safe place and in this healing place. We're not afraid of sickness and disease. We're not afraid of the terror of the night. We're not afraid of destructions or storms or terrorists in Jesus' name. Nor for the arrow, or you could say this could be a bullet, this could be a weapon, this would be for anybody that's anywhere, this could happen to, but especially our men and women in the military, They need to hang on to this. Nor for the arrow that flies by day. You, this is not a suggestion, this is a commandment. You shall not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that nor for the arrow that flies by day, or you could say the bullet, the mortar, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. So that says we're not to be afraid of disease. We're not to be afraid of epidemic, even epidemic disease. Some of the people listening today might be in a place where there's an epidemic of some kind. And there's certain epidemics here in this country. But we don't have to be concerned about it. What about the swine flu? I'm not afraid of the swine flu. Why not? Because of these scriptures. Why not? Because I believe in healing, and I'm not afraid that I'm going to have the swine flu. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll never have the swine flu. Glory to God. Ken told you last night, I think, that we took our flu shot back about when John was about 4 or 5 years old. We took a flu shot from the Word of God. And I think it was a Hong Kong flu, the Asian flu, some kind of flu epidemic. And Ken gathered us all together. We sat in that little living room, and we took our flu shot from the Word of God. And we said, we're not having the flu. In Jesus' name, we took our shot. Well, you know, we still take shots when we need to. You can get booster shots. Any new thing comes along? You know, here's something you ought to do. When you watch the news, if you watch the news, you should talk back to it. And say, not me, you know, in Jesus' name. I'll never have that. I'll never have that flu in Jesus' name. I'll never have this or that or the other in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Talk back to it if you have to watch it. 1,000 shall fall. Now see, this is pretty bad right here. Let me go back up here and read through. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. So no fear here. Nor for the pestilence, diseases that walk in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. That could be, you know, that 9/11 attack would certainly come under that. Bombing would come under that. Any kind of attack would come under that. You'll not be afraid. Don't give over to fear. You stay in faith. People that stayed in faith, we got many, many testimonies of people that stayed in faith. And they walked through it, and they were not touched. Dan Stratton and Ann, they were right down in New York City, right down in the midst of it. They weren't touched. Why? Because they're believers. So it's important what you believe. If you have a problem with fear, you need to get over it. You may need somebody to pray for you and cast that spirit off of you. Or you could do it yourself if you're a believer in the name of Jesus, and then you refuse to go back under that. In Jesus' name. So this would be a bad thing. 1,000 at one side, 10,000 at the other. But it shall not come nigh thee. So you would be in the middle of 11,000 people. Going out on every side. And there you'd be. Why? Because the Lord is your refuge. And the Most High is your dwelling place. You could be in the midst of the most horrendous disease, epidemic. People dying on every side. And there you'd be. Why? Because you're in the refuge of the Most High. John Lake, who's a great man in the church many years ago, and I've read about him a lot, and in fact, I liked his little lesson so much, we put it in a book, and it's tremendous. He was a tremendous faith man. And he was in Africa, and he dealt with people during the plague, the bubonic plague. And he nursed people, he helped see to the people. And the doctors noticed that he never got that plague. And so he said, well, disease germs die when they come on me. Well, they didn't much believe that. So he had them get a microscope, and he put some of the froth from a person on his hand or his hand or arm or something. I believe it was his hand. And he said, "Now put that on me and put it under a microscope." It died. It quit. It didn't do anything. See, that's the kind of power that's in you if you're in faith and you're saying what the Word says. He dealt with people. He nursed people. He did everything, but he never touched him. Why? Because he was walking in the power of the living God. He was in that bubble, and that disease could not come on him. So when you hear of sicknesses, diseases, it's flu season, it's this, it's that, don't accept that. Stand on the Word of God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for my bubble. Thank you that I'm protected. Thank you that Jesus has already taken care of this for me. For He bore every sickness and every disease." There's nothing going to come along that Jesus hasn't borne for us. Like He bore every sin. He bore every sin for us. You can't invent a sin that He didn't bear for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you can't invent, the devil can't invent a sickness that we're not redeemed from already. Only with your eyes you'll be in the midst of 11,000 people, but it dying, wasting away, but it'll not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Excuse me, the Bullinger Bible says the lawless. Only will you see only with your eyes, you might see it, you might be there, but you won't participate. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, even the Most High. What does that tell us? That tells us there ain't anybody higher than Him. He's the Most High. Glory to God. There's not any disease that's higher than Jesus. There's not any catastrophe, accident, storm, disaster that's greater than Jesus. Glory to God. So what do we have to fear? Nothing. We have to faith. We have to believe the Word of God. There shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague. That would be sickness, disease, anything. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling or your household. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy house. You know, we don't know what we'll see before Jesus comes. I'm believing He's coming soon, and I'll miss most of it. But we don't know how far it'll go. And there certainly are biological weapons in possession of wicked people today. But this has already taken care of that. What is a biological weapon? Well, it's a plague of some kind that brings disaster, disease, physical harm. Could be a poison. That would be the same thing. What did the Scripture say about poison? You drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt you. Glory to God. So there shall no evil, say no evil, no evil befall thee, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now that one scripture covers everything bad. Every sickness and disease that anybody here has in here today, that scripture sets you free from it. No evil, neither shall we have a refuge. It's no matter how many thousands of people are dying around us, we're protected. We might see it, but we'll not participate in it. Verse 8 says, because there's something you have to do. Because you've made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. Habitation, that says to me that you spend time there. Where do you spend your time at home? You have a habitation. It's your home. So Jesus is home to us. He's a habitation to us. The Lord is our shepherd. We do not want. So this is not talking about just anybody out there on the street. It's talking about the person who's made Jesus the Lord of his life. And he walks with, and he obeys Jesus. He walks with Jesus. He listens to Jesus. He does what Jesus says to do. That person has this kind of protection. No evil. There shall, this is verse 10, there shall no evil. Not just sickness and disease. No poverty. Isn't poverty evil? Isn't it under the curse? Everything that you find under the curse in Deuteronomy, this right here tells us that if we'll abide in the secret place of the Most High, we can go free from it. And then, of course, other scriptures. It says Jesus himself redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. So when this psalm was written, it was, and actually Moses, I was checking to be sure, when Moses wrote this psalm by the Lord, Jesus, the deliverance that we enjoy wasn't even in force. But they had deliverance from the curse if they obeyed God. You know, when you read Deuteronomy 28, the curse was there, but the Israelites didn't even have to be under that curse. They could do what God says. They could keep his laws. They could keep his rules of food and all the things that he told them to do and what not to do. I mean, he was very specific. Because what? They didn't have a redeemer. They had to do what was right to live free. And if you and I are smart, we'll do the same thing and not be bothered with it. But at least Jesus now has borne the curse. Every sickness, every disease, everything that was under that curse in Deuteronomy, the Bible teaches us that Jesus took it on himself, and he, Galatians says, he redeemed us from that curse. So really, there's no reason for you and me to ever succumb to sickness and disease, except disobedience. But if we'll walk with God, if we'll, and what's more, even today, if you know you were disobedient, you know what you did wrong, or you think, well, I'm in disobedience and it'll stop me from getting healed. No, all you have to do if you're in disobedience is repent and get out of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the Lord, the Father, made a redemption for the people in the Old Covenant. We have a better redemption, but they could be redeemed if they have followed through. We are redeemed from the curse. Glory to God. Every sickness, every disease, every bad thing. Hallelujah. We have a Savior. There ought not be any sick among us. Glory to God. There ought not be any sick. There shouldn't have been any sick among the Jews, and I would assume there weren't, if they obeyed God. But now we have been born over again. We've been born out of sin. We've been redeemed from the whole curse. No reason for you and me to be sick. Ever. Ever. But you know, if you don't know about it, you can't receive it. So that's why we have the written word. Glory to God. There shall no evil befall thee. Is that great or what? Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Glory to God. That would cover biological disease, weapons or whatever. Anything. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He shall give his angels charge over us. The angels, we have bodyguards. You can't see them unless they reveal themselves, but they're with you everywhere you go if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you're a dummy. And you don't got any protection. Why would anybody want to go on in this life without the Lord? But you can fix that today. Maybe you've never had an opportunity to become a believer. Maybe you didn't even know you needed to. But all you have to do is just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I receive you, Lord. Here's what I said to him. I didn't know anything. I was ignorant, totally ignorant. I said, take my life. Here's when I got born again, when I didn't know anything about being born again. Because I said to him, take my life and do something with it. I didn't even know about being born again. But I tell you, things changed in my life. I changed. My life changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your life will change. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. You get angels to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You have angels assigned to you. They are to protect you. They are to keep you. It would probably amaze you at how many times the angels have saved your life. A lot, you know, we know sometimes, I mean, when that car almost hit us or when something happened and we don't know how we got out of that one. They saved our lives, but they're always there. But unbelief and doubt and disobedience bind them up. So this whole psalm really is for the person who is walking with God. Not just for anybody, but just for the person that abides, that obeys, that does what he says. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So even animals, even wild animals, you're delivered from that and protected. Why is that? Verse 14 tells us the key. Because he has set his love upon me, the Lord says. Therefore will I deliver him. Now in the New Testament it tells us that the person who loves the Lord is the person that does what he says. That's our safety net. That you obey God, you're going to be blessed. You do what he tells you, you're going to be blessed. You trust him. And I mean even for those of us who have been spirit-filled for a long time and know the word and all that, we continually have to make those adjustments. You know, we'll say mean things or we'll get out of love and we'll get mad or we'll do something and then we'll, after the animosity's over, we'll realize that wasn't love. That's our commandments, you know, to walk in love. What is love? Love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. This is Amplified. It's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. So when you get your feelings hurt and you start feeling sorry for yourself, you're out of love. You need to repent. Get right back in love. And what do when you repent in that situation? You forgive. Forgive if you have aught against any, the Bible says. Now that just about covers it all, doesn't it? I mean, how could you come up with anything that you weren't supposed to forgive? If you have aught against any, forgive. So it's always right to forgive. All right, so he said, he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So wild animals are not much of a problem anymore, but occasionally somebody runs into one in the woods, snakes or whatever. They are not allowed to hurt us if we're in faith. If we're walking with the Lord, if we've set our heart upon him to do what he says. Because thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, the Lord speaking now, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. So the obedient, it teaches us in the Word, if you love God, you'll do what he says. And because we set our love upon him, we get delivered. Hallelujah. So that means we're obedient. Amen? I will set him on high because he has known my name. Glory. That's the blessing taking place. He, the one who is obedient, the one who does what God says, the one who abides under his shadow and obeys him, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Woo-wee. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Many people called upon the Lord during 9/11 and they were delivered. Some people don't even know how they got to where they were, but they got delivered. Glory to God. Ann and Dan and their people were all delivered right there in the midst of it. Dan, didn't you watch it out the window? Didn't you see it? Where's Dan? Ann, couldn't they see that, all that happening out your window at the office? Glory to God. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. The Most High God. God's name that is El Elyon means Most High because he has known my name. Because we set God as the God of our lives, number one. We know his name. We know him. We do what he says. Amen. And that's the safety place. We know that if things are going to go well with us, we know we must walk with the Lord. We can't be out. I'm talking about you and me. We can't be out doing our own thing. If we're called to do something, we have to do it. And you might not think you want to, but if you're called to do it, you'll like it. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. That's the one that set his love upon him, that does what he says. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I believe in long life. I believe that in the margin it says, with length of days, I will satisfy him. I believe from studying the scripture that we could live on, but we ought to at least do 120. Glory to God. If you want to. You don't have to stay here that long, but so far I still want to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Long life. To me, after studying the scripture, I would say, and I'm bringing a book out in May on this, but I've taught on it. Some of you have heard it. I've taught on it for some years. But with long life will I satisfy him. What is that saying? That you can live as long as you want to. Now, you might get tired of being down here knowing that where you're going is far better. So you don't have to stay 120. But I believe that in the scripture, I believe that's the age that we could if we wanted to. And people have done more than that. I don't have my notes with me today, but when I teach on longevity, I have a number of people, mostly from earlier days, and some of them from England that were listed in Adam Clark's commentary of 120, 140, And what, some of them weren't even godly people. One man that lived, I believe he was 120, he had a child out of wedlock at 120. Yeah, woo, there you go. Now you're all going to want to read my book. Hallelujah. But if you have a Adam Clark commentary, I wasn't familiar with it until I heard Keith Moore talk about it, so I had him find me a set of the books, and they're old. You know, it's not in print anymore. And in that book, he told about a number of people that he was English. I don't know. These people were mostly from Europe and England that lived to be 140 and 120. And I'm telling you, that's exciting. But you know what? If you're not enjoying life, you won't want to stay here that long. And you know something else? If you're not walking with the Lord, you're not going to be enjoying life. That's where life is. But then that's where, and these people, they weren't even necessarily believers. But Tell me, I don't know. I know Adam Clark wouldn't lie about it. Glory to God. So, I think 120 is a good thing to shoot for. You might not want to stay that long. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But I know this is a good thing to shoot for. As long as I'm here, I'm going to be sickness-free. I'm going to be curse-free. I'm going to be prosperous and blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's for sure. All of our long life, we're blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I call the 91st Psalm the longevity psalm. I'm going to skip some things here. Let's see what this says. Let me check this out. Here's our 120. Here's where we get 120. Genesis 6:3. Is that right? Hold on. Oh, I'm in Exodus. That's what's wrong. Genesis 6:3. Of course, we've got to get back here to the beginning. Let's look at verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. Glory to God. Now see, until then, like Methuselah, the one that lived the longest, he was 969 years old. He was nearly a millennium old. Jared was 962. Who else? Mahalalel was 895. Canaan, 910. Enos, 905. Selah, 910. Seth, I don't know what Seth was. He was 800. Where was Seth? I don't have his number. Adam himself lived to be 930 years old. And if they hadn't have committed treason, I believe we'd have lived forever. Don't you? But they disobeyed God, and the day they ate, they surely died. Yet, they didn't die physically. They died spiritually, because he lived 900 and something years. So there you have it. Glory to God. But we want to live long. We want to live strong. We want to live well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you on Psalm 90. This is not scripture, but this is in the Amplified Bible, and it's knowledge, and it's pretty amazing about long life, which is not my message today, but I need to hear it every once in a while. This psalm, Psalm 90, says the days of our years. It says, for our days, in verse 9 in Amplified, for our days out here in this wilderness, Moses said, pass away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, for we adults know we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan. Now, was it the will of God for them to die in the desert? No, they were disobedient, and so they were in the desert. The days of our years are 70, 70 years, or even if by reason of strength, 80 years. So that's where we get the 70 or 80 years. It was talking about the disobedient children of God in the desert. So it says down here in the footnote on... And that's the only place that you'll find 70 or 80 years. This psalm is credited to Moses, who is interceding with God to remove the curse which made it necessary for every Israelite over 20 years of age when they rebelled against God at Kadesh Barnea. Now that's why they wouldn't obey God. That's why they had a limit put on them at all before reaching the promised land. And that was to be in Numbers 14. Moses said, Moses says, most of them are dying at 70 years of age. The number has often been mistaken as a set span of life for all mankind. It was not intended to refer to anyone except those Israelites under the curse during that particular 40 years. So, you know, you've all, how many of you heard that? Well, 70 or 80 years. Well, he got his 70, he got his 80 years. Many of you heard that? All of us have. 70 years has never been the average lifespan for humanity. When Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, had reached 130 years in Genesis 47:9, he complained that he had not attained to the years of his immediate ancestors. In fact, Moses himself lived to be 120 years old, Aaron 123, and Miriam several years older, and Joshua 110. Note as well that in the millennium, a person dying at 100 will still be thought a child. Isaiah 65:20. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to live long, we want to live strong, we want to live well, we want to live prosperous. And in the Word of God, we can do that. Look at Psalm 103. Bless the Lord. Live. Here's what Psalm 91, if I had read it, it says, you live till you're satisfied. Glory to God. Let me just look at that real quick. Because he has set his love upon me, that means, now what we say that means? That you do what he says. If you love God, you obey God. That's what the scripture teaches. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I've read this once, but now I'm reading it in the light of what we've said. About these people living long. I will be with him in trouble. So if you're in trouble, the Lord is with you. Turn to him. Get on your faith. Give him something to work with. Faith is what he works with. What is that? Faith is, what is faith? Faith is believing what the Word says. And we have the written Word today. So we're without excuse. I will be with him in trouble with law and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In the margin there it says, for long life, it says length of days. With length of days will I satisfy and show him my salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not all his benefits. Healing, the new birth's a benefit. Healing's a benefit. Prospering is a benefit. But if you forget those benefits, you're not releasing your faith for those benefits, and you don't get those benefits necessarily. Amen? So we have to have faith in every area. We have to be releasing our faith. For our healing, we find out from the healing scriptures, if you have problems in your body, and you or even if you don't, everybody should know what the Bible says about healing and be strong in that. Because we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sickness is one of the things that he uses to destroy. So we have to be strong and stay strong in healing. Now this says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What if you forget the benefits? Well, they're not active in your life. They might belong to you. What if you had an insurance policy and somebody left you $10 million, but you didn't know anything about it? You're the beneficiary, but you don't know about it. Or if you know about it, you don't bother to go down and get it. What do you get? Zilch. Nothing. Who redeems that? He forgives all of our iniquities. Forget not all his benefits. That's why we want to stay in the Word every day. This is full of benefits. This is like a spiritual insurance policy. And it's got goods in it. It's full of blessing and good things. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, that would be everything, who heals all thy diseases. Now, is that plain enough? It's God's will for you to be healed today. Who satisfies thy mouth with good, and then the things is in italics, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Ooh, you get to be 67, you can be glad to hear that. Glory to God. My youth is renewed like the eagles. You ought to start confessing that if you're 20. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can live long and we can live strong. Hallelujah. Now, this is for the obedient, but that's who I am. That's who you are if you decide to be. It's just up to you. I don't know. I would despise living in the earth without the power of God. It would be such a burden to be here and not know God and live in fear and uncertainty and not have anything certain out there. But we're not there. We're not in that place, church. We're born again. Jesus is Lord. This book belongs to us. This man belongs to me. Hallelujah.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hallelujah.
You hit on something that and when you did, the Spirit of God just rose up in
you. Good, give it to us.
That, and I had, and he put his finger right on something in the book of Philippians
okay.
when you said it.
Glory to God.
And this answers so many questions that the natural world has, and also that untaught believers have. It's a question that needs to be answered from the Word,
okay.
because you can't answer it with the natural mind. You go back to 9/11. You mentioned
yeah.
that, and you hear people say things. Well, I just don't understand. If God would save one, why didn't He save the other? Or how could a loving God allow certain things to happen to certain people? When bad things happen to good people, and that question just goes on. And God's Word is truly the only place you'll find the definite answer to it or some information based on this Word. You mentioned an insurance policy. And when you said that, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God rose up in
Praise
me.
God.
He said, that's what my covenant is.
Yes, that's right. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Now, you could reframe that question. Why would an honest, strong insurance company, why would that group of good people come in after a huge storm and only replace one man's house? Why didn't they replace everybody's house on that whole block? There wasn't but one guy had the policy.
That's right. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Glory to God.
He made arrangements for that. And he called on it.
Yeah.
And when the storm came, he turned in his claim. Now, when you said that about not knowing about it
yeah.
or not bothering to activate it, you can know all this stuff and never activate
that's right.
it. And
oh, that's
it
true.
Never.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
mean, you can study these scriptures the rest of your life and get blown away with everybody else if you don't, by faith, activate that and said, I believe I will, I take that.
Yeah.
Now,
that's good. That's good.
In
that's
the
good.
First chapter of the book exactly. of Philippians here, this is the faith for longevity. I'd never seen this
Where
until you
Let's
said that
it.
A while ago. In the first chapter of Philippians,
mm-hmm.
chapter 1, The Apostle Paul said in verse 23. Now let's keep in mind that the man that wrote this knows the Torah.
Yes.
He knows the days of man are 120.
Yes,
he's
right.
Not wondering about these facts. This is a man taught of God.
Amen.
This is a man taught of the Word. Amen. He didn't have a New Testament he could turn to. He was writing it. Gloria, before I get into this, the Lord just reminded me. You remember what the Holy Spirit said? He said about Saul, right after the road to Damascus, when the Apostle Paul was born again. He said of this man, he said, "You go down and you lay your hands on Saul. He will receive his sight and the Holy Ghost." For he knows the things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, don't wrap that up in religion and say, oh, he's suffering for Jesus. No, that's not what he said. This man had to, under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, this man had a covenant with Jesus. He didn't go do this. Jesus didn't do this without he made covenant with the apostle, and he accepted it. He knows what he must suffer for my name's sake.
He agreed to it.
For the sake of my name, this man had to personally live out and put on paper the new covenant. He proved it would work in the field, and he wrote what he lived. And we have it. We can live it out today. But he suffered things you and I will never even see.
Yeah.
And he said, I've been delivered from all these things. Hallelujah.
Christ.
He wrote it down so you and I could walk in it. Yeah. Now here's, just like this, I'm about to bring out to you. The reason I'm kind of stuttering and jumping around about this, I didn't know this till about 10 minutes ago. And at 73, this is good information, brother. Amen. Now, verse 23, Philippians 1:23. I am in a strait betwixt two. Now, and let me comment on this. The Lord showed me this years ago. He made this decision while he was writing this letter to his partners.
Yeah.
I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, you can just put that in Texas terms. I'm tired of all this. He's getting beat up every time I stick my head out the door.
Fed up.
I'm fed up with this, and I want to get out of here. Nevertheless, now here was the other side. He was being pulled by the desire to depart, but now he's got this to deal with. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
He wasn't through yet.
Having this confidence, the Lord pointed out to me, having this faith.
Yes.
This is it right here. This is the faith. Having this faith, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He said, I'd rather leave here, but having this faith, how am I going to stay here? How am I going to put up with this? How am I going to live out my time having to fight this thing all the time, having to do all of this? I'd whole lot rather go on to heaven and be with the Lord than to stay in this mess. Have faith in God. I have this faith. I've made this decision. I have this faith. I will sow my life into you. Now, I've been dealing with this, as you well know, for several years. And anybody that's in the ministry, I saw it happen to my dad, and the Lord had me minister to him. Anytime you start approaching that 70 years, Satan will start trying to talk you into dying. He'll try to talk you out of your life. He don't care whether you go to heaven or hell. Just get out of the way. He'll start trying to talk you into dying. Where are you going to get the faith to live? Just because you're afraid of dying? Oh, that ain't no faith. That's fear. That'll kill you. Being afraid to die. Where are you going to get the faith? Right there. If you'll take up your assignment, that to sow your life into the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever He's called you to do,
that's right.
You may right now. The only calling on your life. Maybe your grandchildren. But I'm telling you what. Let me tell you something now, folks. Most of our young generation has no concept, and particularly if they've been to public school. There's a lot of good teachers in public school, but they got a gag in their mouth. They can't teach the truth.
That's right.
They can't tell. They can't tell a child the truth. They have to tell them what the government told them to tell them.
That's right.
That's another thing I'm fed up with. But that's another issue. Get before the Lord. Will it be more expedient for my family? Will it be more expedient for the body of Christ? Would it be more expedient for my pastor and his wife for me to stay?
Yes.
It would. Amen. Hallelujah. And you make that decision. How am I going to do that? There's the faith right there. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this faith, I'm going to stay.
Hallelujah.
He made his decision. And this decision right here has, over the last several years, has brought healing to my body. It's brought new strength into my life.
Yeah,
I've noticed in the last two meetings that I haven't had that overwhelming tiredness that would just come on me.
Glory to God.
And it was believing this. Because this would come up before me, and you take hold of it. I believe I will. I take this faith. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You notice he's not talking about himself. He's not saying not more needful for me.
Yeah.
More needful for you. Now, to God, you're just as important to Him as the other people are important to Him. But when you activate your faith just for yourself, it's limited. But when you activate yourself and your faith, you activate your faith in obedience to the Word of God. You activate that insurance policy. We got a call few nights ago. Gloria and I already gone to bed, and we weren't asleep yet, and the phone rang. Gloria picked it up, and, "Yeah," she said, and I thought, "Well, I wonder who this is." Handed the phone over to me, and it was a very dear partner of ours. Unusual man. Special Forces, United States Army Ranger, Special Forces. I mean, if they got it, he's done it. And full field grade officer, full colonel, combat commander, that pastors a church. Now, that's a strange bird, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's so thrilling about this man. He called and he said, "I told you I'd call you, Brother Copeland, when I got back from Afghanistan." Because we laid hands on him just before he went on this last deployment. And he just got back. He said, "I just wanted to call and witness to you that the 91st Psalm is alive and well. Praise God."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And now see, listen to what I'm about to say to you, because I'm going to fit it right here into this scripture. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, having this faith." He said, "Brother Kenneth, I wonder," he said, "when I got there and took over my command," he said, any soldier in on any level of command. Now, he didn't say this on the phone, but I prayed this out and thought this out later. I mean, and I had the Lord then confirm this to me. That, I mean, you may not be but just a squad leader. You just got just seven people under you. You're responsible for them. And you're responsible for the 91st Psalm in their lives. That's called the soldier psalm, by the way. And he said, "We're responsible for bringing that psalm into our command and protect our troops with it." And he said, "What I'm wondering, Brother Copeland," he said, "when I got there and took over my command, we never had any more casualties in my outfit because," he said, "I invoked the 91st
Praise
Psalm and,
God.
As commander."
Oh.
And his troops know it. I mean, now, well, you know, when the colonel says, "Now you're going to learn this 91st Psalm, and you'll make them whatever way you like it or not," because he's going to walk up to you and say, "Verse 3. You better come up with verse 3. Hey, ain't no, well, you know, my mama didn't know. Your mama nothing. You're going to learn that psalm." But he said, I've been wondering and been questioning why. He said, "When I got there, all the casualties ceased." He said, "We didn't lose anybody, didn't get anybody wounded in my outfit the whole time I was there." And he said, "When I left, the casualties started again." And I said, "Well, it's the same thing that happened with Isaac."
Yeah.
He brought the blessing in there in that famine. But when they thought the famine was over, and when they drove him out, the famine was still there, and the famine just fell on them again. Their wells dried up, and the trees started dying. So they got him back, and the wells started flowing again. Why? The blessing of the Lord was in that man and on that man. The blessing of the Lord is in you and on you.
Yes, it is.
"And nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for my family, because the blessing of Abraham is in my life." Did you get it?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Congratulations, you made the right decision.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I was watching you preach the other night, you know, and I kind of get to where I want to quit myself. I don't want to, I'm not ready to die yet, but I'd like to sit down a while. So just in this meeting, I was sitting over there, and you were just a-going. And I thought, I can't quit. He can't do. He won't want to do this by himself, and he's got to keep on.
I am not doing this by myself, woman. I'm doing this right now.
That was last night.
May I remind
Thursday
you?
Thursday night one.
May I remind you of what the Lord said to me in 1967 down there in that riverbed?
Yeah. What?
He said, "Your wife is precious to me. I have given her to you, and she is to you what temper is to steel." And that's proven to be absolutely the truth for the last almost 50 years. Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah. So I ain't going, you ain't going. You understand?
Yeah. Okay. You talked me into it, I'll stay. I just needed a little attention. Wait, listen to this. Now listen to what Finney says about this song. This scripture. Now, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, Finney said about this, "The apostle seems to have had this idea in mind, quote, that Christ lives his life over again in him." So then I took that and I said, we can't live. We can't lose. To die is gain. To live is to serve and to have God living through us and moving through us.
Isn't that marvelous?
So whether we go or whether we stay,
it's a win-win.
It's a win-win situation.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we don't have anything to fear in death, but we want to live out the full number of our days. Because if we're doing it right, we're of some value to the kingdom of God.
Could we go back over there to the 91st Psalm for a moment?
Yes, we could.
Here is something that has become very strong among in the military, in the believing and activating this psalm. Moses wrote this from a first-hand personal experience. And there are three people in this psalm. You and two others. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, it starts out talking about you and me. But I'm going to put this in the first person now. He, that's me, that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I, that's me, will say of the Lord. Now this is the way you enter into the secret place, as Gloria has pointed out. He is my refuge. In other words, I take it. He's my fortress. He's my God. In him will I trust. That's the end of your conversation. You made your confession of faith. You made your decision.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I put my faith on. I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge.
He
is my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. Now, Jesus, you remember in Hebrews 3, is the high priest of our confession. He is the high Lord, Master, Administrator of the words of faith, His words that come out of our mouths.
That's right. The Lord of our words.
So from this verse 3, all the way up through up to the 12th verse is Jesus speaking to me. I always wondered, why it had that little quirk in there which said, "Surely he shall deliver you." It didn't. I had to kind of change the words around to say, "He shall deliver me," and that kind of thing. But then when I realized what's happening here, the commander-in-chief himself is speaking to me. I made my decision. In him I shall trust. And I'm standing there at attention. And remember, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And the man, the commander-in-chief of the body of Christ, is speaking directly to me. And he's giving me orders.
Yes.
And he's saying to me, "Kenneth, surely your God shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you, Kenneth, with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust." Yes, sir, I will. "His truth shall be your shield and your buckler." Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. "You shall not be afraid." Yes, sir. And don't crab around and argue about this.
"I'm not afraid."
"I am not afraid, sir. Thou will not, you'll not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, mister, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you."
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Now listen, if this is not Jesus, who else is it? "Because you have made Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is my refuge." He's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. He was Jesus' refuge all the way through his ministry, all the way through Calvary, all the way through the resurrection to the seating, and he is the one that crowned him with glory forever.
Hallelujah.
He is Jesus' refuge. And he said,
he went to hell and back.
Yes, he did. For real.
And he was not hurt.
Amen.
He said,
"Because you made Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, mister, and neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling, because he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and they'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone."
Hallelujah.
Sir, yes, sir. I receive them.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
"You'll tread upon the lion and the adder." Yes, I will, sir. That's the enemies of the body of Christ.
That's right.
"Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and wicked spirits in heavenly places."
Amen.
"Young lions and dragons shall you trample underfoot." Oh, I'm a dragon slayer. Praise God.
Amen.
And then himself speaks up. This is the third voice in this song. "You spoke, Jesus issued forth command, and now Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Almighty One says, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high, because he's known my name."
Yes, amen. Glory to God.
You're named after him. Remember we read that last night in the book of Ephesians? "Because he knows he has covenant with me. I've given him my word. I've given him my name, and he knows."
Hallelujah. I receive that. I receive that.
He enters into combat knowing my name. He enters into combat depending on the blood of Jesus. He enters into combat saying, I'm not afraid of anything they've got. I'm a dragon slayer and I walk on the enemy.
Glory to God. Amen. No fear. No fear here.
He shall call upon me. Now what does that mean? It doesn't mean, oh God, oh God, oh God. No. You remember? Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. That is covenant activation. And that's what we're going to do here this morning.
Yes, that's right.
And your healing. You have a healing covenant with Jesus. He called upon his name. He built him a pile of rocks and he make a blood sacrifice and the blood flowed. And he said, I call on the covenant between us.
Praise
I'm a covenant
Jesus.
Man. You're my source. I plead the blood. Christians all over the place pleading the blood and don't have any idea what they're saying. And it still works. But when you plead the blood, you are saying, I call on you for the covenant of the blood of Jesus, and all that that blood ratifies is mine. And everything Jesus said to me in this psalm is mine. And I'm calling for it.
Amen. Praise God.
I'm calling
Amen.
For it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't, you remember years ago that woman called me on the telephone and really stirred me up. And you said, what's going on? And I put the thing on the speaker. And I had told her already in the meeting. I said, what do you come up here crying to me for?
Well, my mama's sick and she's going to die.
I said, what are you crying about? Do you not have a blood covenant with Jesus?
Uh-huh.
I said, well, what are you hollering about? Well, yeah, bless God. She said, I got a covenant, don't I? I said, yeah, you do. And I'm telling you, she started stomping around the front of that bill. I got a covenant. And she got mad at the devil and started walking up his back. Well, that had been several weeks before. Well, that night she called me.
I said, what am I going to do? And I said,
what's the matter with you?
Well, mama's got a turn for the worse, and my sisters have come down here, and they're just a bunch of unbelievers. They just talk so bad, and I don't know.
I said, don't you have a covenant with God?
Yeah, I've got a covenant with God, but I don't know.
I said, Adam, don't give me that yeah, but. I said, shut your mouth.
Well, but Brother Copeland,
I said, shut your mouth.
Okay.
This is all on the telephone. I said, you tell me now you've got a covenant in the blood of Jesus. Well, yes, I do. And man, I mean, she come alive, and I had to get the phone out of her, and now she's hollering loud enough for both of us to hear. I mean, she's
Amen.
Romping and
That's
a stomping. She's
do.
Got a covenant with Glory God.
She called
a few days later. She said, after we hung up, she said, Brother Copeland, I went in there and cleaned house. She said, I told them unbelieving sisters either get faith in their mouth or get blessed God out of my house.
Amen.
You ain't talking to more death and unbelieving around here. And mama is not ready to go yet. And she said, I just went in there and anointed her with oil and just slapped my hands on her head and up out of there she came.
Hallelujah.
So what happened? She decided it's time to trample on the adders and the lions and the dragons.
She made a decision.
She made that, the covenant
that's,
decision.
That's what we're going to do here this
And morning. That was calling on the name.
Yeah.
Now remember what Abram said to the king? I've lifted my
hand.
I have called upon the name of the Lord. And never let it be said any man made Abraham rich. And I don't need anything you've got. He's my source.
Ah.
Glory.
Glory, I did it again.
What'd you do?
I done preached myself happy.
Yeehaw! Don't go away.
Look at there. He'll call upon me. I'll answer him. I'm with him in trouble. I deliver him and honor him.
Yes, amen. Glory.
Can you imagine God honoring you?
My Jesus. I will.
Well, you need to start imagining
and honor him.
Remember what he said about Jesus? This is my beloved son. You better listen to him. You know what he's saying to the devil? You call upon his name in the blood and the name of Jesus, your Lord and Savior. You know what the Father is saying? This is my beloved child. And you better listen to her, Satan.
Hallelujah.
He'll honor you.
Glory to God.
You honor him, he will honor you.
Thank you, Lord, for life.
This is not based on your transgressions of any time. This is based on the blood and the power and the word and covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're his joint heir. And your Father is more than thrilled to call you his beloved. That's what grace is all about. He'll honor the likes of you and me. And he'll say to the devil, that's my son. That's my daughter. You better shut your mouth, Satan. You remember I told you, when
Amen.
They resist you, you flee.
God.
You
Amen.
Run.
God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
And then he says, live long, girl.
Live long and live strong.
Live long and live strong.
Hallelujah. I want to share this with you, and then Kim's going to pray the prayer of faith for us. This is Psalm 121. You don't need to turn there if you want to. I'm just going to give you something that I saw in the Hebrew translation, the Tehillim. It says, it's just a little short psalm, but most of us are traveling, a lot of you traveling home, cars, planes, whatever. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So you know he's well able to see to you. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, he that keepeth thee. So that was the faith confession. Now here's the next part he's saying. This is the Lord, I believe. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Ken and I have heard the story of the woman in the bombings in the war. World War II, I guess.
Yeah, I was in London.
And so everybody would go, they'd hear the sirens, they'd all go to the shelter, and she would never go. So they checked on her, you know, asked her why she didn't go. She said, well, the Lord neither slumbers or sleeps, and he keeps me, and there's no point in both of us being awake. So I believe that's good, isn't it?
The bottom line of that story was, at one night in the raids, the whole block where her house was obliterated except for her house, and it just stood standing right in the middle of the street, and she was sound asleep in it.
The Lord neither slumbers or sleeps.
But now notice that psalm there, Gloria, that's written in the same tense as the 91st psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord,
Amen.
Which made heaven and earth. And then your Lord, high priest of your confession, says, he will not suffer your foot to be moved. Jesus will always feed faith words to you for you to take and
right.
put in your mouth.
That's right. Amen.
That's what that...
Glory
to
God.
That's the same thing that that's on.
Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Now this is the one I'm giving you for when you travel on the planes or the cars or anywhere else. The Lord shall preserve thy... This is Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even from evermore. Forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Now listen, Tehillim says, the Hebrew translation says, the Lord will protect you in every from every evil. The Lord will protect you from every evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your departure and arrival from this time and forevermore. Every time you get in an airplane, you remember this scripture. Every time you
hijack
get in a car.
The thing.
Yeah. The Lord, He will guard your departure and your arrival from this time and forevermore. Isn't
that
great?
You get on that airplane
and you say, look, I got a ticket on this thing. That seat belongs to me. And I take charge over everything fastened to that seat.
Yes, amen.
In the name of Jesus. And then read that out loud to the devil. Just sit down in your seat and say, now listen here, Mr. Devil. I'm speaking to you by the words of Jesus and what He said to me.
Amen.
I'm saying to you, the Lord
amen.
God Almighty protects me.
That's right.
My angels are gathered up around me, ministering spirits. You get out in front and back, wing tip to wing tip, lest my foot dash against a stone. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah.
Lean back and say, go for it, Jack.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So listen, there have been times that I know good and well when Gloria and I were on back before we had airplanes that would fly across the ocean. And one night particularly, I was about half asleep, and the Lord woke me up. And when I woke up, I just went into action on this thing. And particularly here on the 91st Psalm.
Amen.
And begin to enforce that in the name of Jesus. And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? Ministering spirits, you're on assignment. You do your work. God is doing His work in the name of Jesus. Now I enter into that secret place and a place of rest here at the throne of grace.
Hallelujah.
And I just leaned back and prayed in the Spirit. And that began to lift from me. And it, after it lifted, it was still there. I could tell that things were not like they should be. But the things stayed together. You remember we had our airplane in the shop for double engine overhaul one time. And we had a tough schedule to keep. The man that owned that shop had an airplane just like ours. And so I told him, I said, I need to lease your airplane for the time that we're and finish my schedule while you've got mine in there overhauling engines. Fine, that's fine. So we entered a contract together and we took that airplane. We took off, we were headed for Kansas, and I was uneasy in my spirit. Wasn't fear. And don't let fear attach itself to it.
Yeah.
But my thing, and so I just latched on to the Word and began to confess it. Well, and it did the same thing then. It was still there. I knew I must guard my mouth. I must stay focused on faith and stay in this thing and finish my job. And we did. We finished all of our goings. Came back. I didn't like that airplane from the time I got in it till the time I got out of it. It was a nice airplane. It was later model than ours was. But I didn't have the peace in me. This took authority over the thing. We got back. And the man that was head of the flight department over there at that company. I landed and he came in and I turned the airplane in and all of that. And he needed to go do so many instrument approaches or something. It was a local flight. He got in the airplane. They fueled it up and he got in it right after
we got out of it. And it had just worked flawlessly this whole time. But I just... And those of you that experienced it, all of you have experienced it, but not everybody knows what it is. Because God never fails. He'll always warn you. It's not paying any attention to Him that gets you in trouble. So, he got in that airplane. He took off. He flew it out outside the outer marker, 6 miles away from the end of the runway. He turned around. He got on the instrument approach there. He got within 4 miles of the airport, and one of the propeller blades flew off. And it
the very next time it got off.
The next time it flew after we got out of it. And it liked to wrench that engine off of the wing.
My goodness.
And he was so close to the end of the airport, he just shut all the power down. He just shut down everything and just the thing just doing this. And he just wallered it till he got it to the end of the runway and slapped it on the ground and got it off. And he was all right.
Thank God for both of us.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, see, he don't know nothing about this.
Yeah.
He just climbed in there like everybody else. But our knowing it just kept it together. It worked all the way around. Now, you can do this for your household.
That's right.
Why? It's more expedient for me that I stay. I got to get this bunch saved before I get out
That's
of here.
Right.
I got to get this bunch healed before
That's
I get out of here. I've got a covenant with God, and I'm a soldier on a mission. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Besides that, there's no Hebrew word for retirement.
There's not.
It's not in there. You can't say retire in Hebrew. Only thing you can say is give up and quit. Okay, I'll butt
well,
in
we're glad
long
you
enough.
Don't retire, but and I can't retire if you don't retire. So, all right, I'm going to give you that quote again. You need to put this in your car because whether you're just going to the grocery store or where, you need this scripture. So write it down. I mean, this translation. This comes from the Hebrew Tehillim with commentary that we have at the office. If y'all don't have it, you should get one. They're great. The Lord will protect you from every evil. He will guard your soul. He will, wait, I can't read my writing. The Lord will guard your departure and arrival from this time and forever.
Departure and arrival.
The Lord will guard your departure and arrival from this time and forever. And that's in that. If you have those commentaries, it's on of the little books. It's 1531 of the Tehillim, 1531 page. So, the Lord watches over you and me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He watches over us. But he has to have something to work with, and that's faith.
Jesus.
He's the healer, but he has to have something to work with, and that's our believing and our receiving what he says. So we are going to, I'm going to read this scripture, and then Ken's going to pray the prayer of faith, and you're going to receive your healing. Don't wait for hands to be laid on you. You are a believer. You receive your healing. You take it. And you begin to do what you couldn't do before. Now here, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and griefs, the King James says, and pains of punishment. Yet we considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy, the Amplified says. But on that cross, I'm saying that. The scripture says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. That's why you can be saved today and get rid of the sin in your life forever. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace. And in the Hebrew, that word is shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, everything good. And to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. the chastisement, the penalty for sin was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. So your healing and your wholeness today has already been taken care of.
Hallelujah.
And there's nothing left but the receiving of it. Amen. When you read in the scripture, it says, my God shall meet your needs according to his riches and glory. What do you have to do? You have to receive that scripture and believe it and act on it. Well, we're going to receive this scripture. We're receiving it right now. And I want you just to stand up. We're going to pray. If you're able to stand up, we're going to pray and receive it. And then, Ken, I want you to minister the healing anointing and break the power of anything and let loose healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. You say this, he was wounded for my transgressions.
He was broken for my transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
The chastisement needful to obtain peace.
The chastisement needful to obtain peace.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
And well-being for us.
And well-being for us.
Was upon him.
Was upon him.
And with the stripes.
And with the stripes.
That wounded him.
That wounded him.
We are healed.
We are healed.
And made whole.
And made whole.
We receive that healing.
We receive that healing.
Right now.
Right now.
From the top of our heads.
From the top of our heads.
To the soles of our feet.
To the soles of our feet.
I receive healing.
I receive healing.
Peace. Well-being. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Hallelujah.
Now you give the
Hallelujah.
Faith command. Hallelujah. We receive it. We receive it. Now,
thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I say, I believe.
I believe.
Will you take it?
Yes.
I will.
I will.
I take my healing.
I take my healing.
I take his wounding.
I take his wounding.
I take his bruises.
I take his bruises.
I receive it.
I receive it.
So I have it.
So I have it.
I have faith in God.
I have it.
I thank you for it.
I thank you for it.
Now I release thanksgiving and mercy and forgiveness.
Now I release thanksgiving, mercy, praise.
Forgive. Just say it. I forgive.
I forgive.
I release forgiveness.
I release forgiveness.
I forgive.
I forgive.
I use my faith to forgive.
I use my faith to forgive.
I receive cleansing of my whole being.
I receive cleansing of my whole being.
I forgive.
I forgive.
I receive my healing.
I receive my healing.
I forgive.
I forgive.
Can you see that that's all one action?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Remember.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember Matthew 9? Where to prove that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive.
Yeah.
I say to the man of the palsy, rise, take up your bed, and walk. So the same power to heal is the power to forgive. So as you release and you, by faith, forgive, you are opening up the power of healing.
Glory.
It's the same power.
Yes.
So that your heavenly Father may forgive you your trespasses. Well, that's the same as healing your body.
We receive. We receive.
So you make the connection and it begins to flow. I receive.
Restoration.
I receive.
Restoration.
I have it.
Glory to God.
I have it in Jesus' name.
I have it in Jesus' name.
Oh, glory to God.
Step over here in front of me. Glory, glory,
glory.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. Right now, you be healed.
Yes,
don't
yes,
you ever
yes, yes,
come
yes,
back
yes,
on
yes.
him again in the
yes,
name of the Lord Jesus,
in Jesus'
Christ.
Name.
I command those bones to be normal
yes,
and healed,
in
restored.
Jesus' name.
Jesus himself took pain for you and you're delivered. Now receive your healing in Jesus' name.
I believe I will. Take it out.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're all healed in Jesus' name. We take it. We take our healing. We take our healing. Do what you couldn't do before. If you couldn't bend over, bend over.
You take that dysfunction and put her hand on your back. You take it. She just put her hand on my back. You need to take it right now. Glory be to God.
Be healed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
In the name above every name, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, as a minister of the gospel and as a prophet of God, I take authority over you, Satan. I take power over you. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and in his name you bow your knee. And you depart from this place. Every spirit of sickness, every spirit of disease, every demon that is involved in cancer, get out of here in Jesus' name. You leave the bodies now. Arthritis, you leave here now. Every sickness, every disease is under the curse, and we're redeemed from the curse. I take my redemption, and I take authority over you, curse. Remove from this place.
Glory to God.
In Jesus' name.
Loose the miracles, the miracle working power of God. Miracles.
Hallelujah.
Miracles. Glory
and we
to God.
We call upon the name.
Yes.
We call upon your name.
Glory
we
to
call
God.
Upon Hallelujah. The name for the release, a divine release from heaven. Through the earth to this room and to the internet and the people watching on television.
Thank you, Father. So for
divine miracles released in this place. A divine release from heaven. Oh, Lord Jesus, our high priest, glory be to God. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. In the name of Jesus, I release it. In the name of Jesus, divine miracles of healing, deliverance, restoration of bodies.
Yes. All over the world right now. The power
I heard it again. Arthritis is healed. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That spirit is gone out of this room.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
God.
All types. All forms of blood disease.
We receive, Lord. We receive.
Diabetes of all classes of diabetes. It's gone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
stomach
Lord.
Ulcers. Healed.
Glory to God.
Ears healed. Noises and ringing in ears.
Stop.
Delivered. Stop. Be
now,
quiet.
Yes, we receive healing.
Restoration. Of bones. Hallelujah. All forms of lung disease. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Hallelujah.
The miracle anointing that Jesus declared in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the recovery of sight to the blind. Every form of recovery of sight, from the smallest to the person that is totally blind, the release of that anointing is now. A divine release of the anointing of Jesus for the recovery of sight to the blind. Hallelujah.
See the
I believe. I will. I take it. I have it. I thank you for it. My faith has made me whole. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Knee problems. Knee problems.
Healed.
Strong. Well. Broken bones. Some that didn't heal back, didn't mend back right. Restored. Healed. Degenerative joint disease, bone disease. Stop it. Leave this room. You spirit of dry bones, I cast you out in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes, yes. We're healed. We're healed.
Liver disease.
Liver, be healed in Jesus' name.
Heal. Glory, 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 glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, holy God. Holy
bless
God.
The Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Healing of the spleen.
So magnificent.
Glory, 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 glory.
Thank you, thank you.
Glory.
Glory.
I heard you. You're going to have to stop saying it. You get up in the morning. Oh, why do my feet stay so sore all the time? Why do they hurt me so? Oh, my feet are just killing me again this morning. Don't you ever say that again.
Don't ever say it again. Glory to God.
No, you say, again. I believe I will. I take it. I have it. I have it. And I have faith in God. I don't have sore feet.
Thank you.
Now listen to me. Listen to me. Don't get hung up there. Oh, Brother Copeland, how can I say I don't have it when I do have it? No. You're not communicating. You're using your words as tools of power and faith.
Yeah.
There's a difference. There's a difference between using your words to tell somebody, let me illustrate this. Get this buried into your mind. The phone rings. Hello. Mr. Copeland. Yes. The property that you and Sister Copeland were looking at, they've dropped the price. It's less than half what it was. I'll take it. Now, I haven't done a thing. I haven't signed a paper. I haven't paid anybody. All I said was, I'll take it. I hang up the phone. Gloria, we have our property.
We have it.
I take it. We have it.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, amen. I'm going to walk that out. I'm going to take care of the process. But do you see what happened? I took possession of that property right that moment. The moment I said, I'll take it. It's mine.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Now, in the spirit, your words take possession. I believe. Now, an act of your will. I will.
I will.
You will what? I take it.
I take it.
I take my healing. I take faith in God.
Glory to God.
I have faith in God.
I have faith in God.
So I dispossess the pain in the feet. I possess the healing and faith in God. I have faith in God. I have my healing. I do not have pain in my feet. See, I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't talking to God. I wasn't talking to my feet. I was releasing my faith. By faith, I possess the healing. By faith, I dispossess that hurt in my feet.
Yeah, amen.
I don't have you.
right.
Now get out. I don't have you. I will not have you.
Don't.
Bless I dispossess your right to live in my body.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
You follow that? Meditate on it. I mean, it is huge in your life. And if you go back and look at your conversation, Satan knows he has to get that stuff in your mouth because he can't do anything on his own. Jesus stripped him of all the power he got. So he's got to get you to possess it with your mouth. And you go back and look at it and look at what's happening in your life and just check it out. Check your words out. Listen to what people around you say. Well, I don't know, you know. I just know we'll take the flu. You better go get in the bed now.
I'm not taking the flu.
But listen to the terminology. You have to take the flu.
Now, who do you think came up with that idea?
Yeah.
The devil.
I believe I'm coming down with something. I don't.
I believe I'm healed.
Brother Copeland, you can't believe what this is. Now, wait a minute before you continue. I can believe anything I decide to. I am a believer. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I choose to believe that. I choose not to believe that. But don't go around telling me you'll never believe. I just can't believe what... You say that all the time and then you find it's hard for you to believe something. Well, wonder why. You possessed unbelief. You took it every time you said it. So, take authority over your mouth. Tame it with the word of God. Say, no, you're not working against me, mouth. You're working for me. I'm the boss here, not you, Mr. Tongue. No, sir, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, over this system here. I speak His words. Thank you very much. Not just any trash that comes through my mind. That's the reason it becomes so prevalent in the life of sinners to curse. That's the way Satan keeps the curse in operation. Where you curse this. You know how it is, brother. I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. Wonder how come I'm so damned. I can't understand it. Well, why else would that be so strong? That's the way Satan controls fear, words. That's all he's got. Well, break his power over your house. Hallelujah. He ain't talking around here no more, Hoss. You send his saddle home at my house. He's done. He's through here. He's done here.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Check yourself out if you can tell the change has already taken place. We want you to give a testimony. And the rest of you may be seated, but keep the switch of faith turned on. Sue, you got a good testimony?
I'll be the first to testify. Thank you very much.
Okay, you testify.
Amen.
There's a young man right here that wants to testify.
The moment you put your hand in my back, I mean, it shot through me like you just plugged something in back there when you put your hand in.
Praise God.
And when you did it, this pull and the muscles on this side of my back trying to spasm this morning just relaxed and it just quit.
I believe you.
And I know it. I knew when you did it that it broke loose in ministry to other people's backs.
Praise God. Amen.
And it was,
amen.
Then in that SI joint right there. And I'm telling you, it just relaxed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Don't forget how you did that.
You won't need it anymore.
I won't need it anymore, bro.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see. What do we want? We're going to have some testimonies for a few minutes. Two lines on each side.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is if you can tell that you're already healed. I mean, you are already healed, but if the symptoms are gone and you can do what you couldn't do before.
Oh, glory to God.
Oh, Tracy Harris
Hallelujah.
From Texarkana.
What a tremendous word today, Sister Gloria. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Living strong and living long.
Yeah, that's what
in
we're going to do. Long
while they're coming down, I have to tell you one that is going to, you know, we talked that Old Testament about bless your socks off, but, you know, God puts stuff on us, I guess,
yeah.
So glory to God would bless our socks on. I don't know, but this is phenomenal. And it's from this meeting. This is from Charles and Angela, and it's going to bless you so much, and all the hearers here. She said, my husband and I attended Victory Campaign this past November in Woodbridge, Virginia. That's right here. It was awesome. The Spirit of God was really moving. At the time, my mother, who lived in Hampton, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, was under hospice care. She had been on constant oxygen due to the function of half of one lung. She was also breathing treatments. She became short-winded just talking. She had a lump on her chest, which was also growing, and they said her cancer was inoperable. Now listen to this miracle.
Wow.
My husband and I really wanted to bring her, but due to work and distance, we couldn't. So I brought her via cell phone.
Is that right?
Glory to God.
It seemed like I remember that. Yeah.
Evidently, they had their cell phone on, battery all charged
Good
up,
idea.
And let her listen to the message through their cell phone. And
wow.
It says she was on the phone through all of the praise and worship. And during the time, Gloria had the whole audience making healing confessions. I took her to the altar to be prayed for via cell phone.
I remember that woman having her.
Glory to God.
I think I laid hands on her cell phone.
She said, God is awesome. Not only is my mom off the breathing treatments and the oxygen, she has 97% use in both lungs.
Praise God. Hallelujah. How great. Woo. Bless the Lord.
She's off the hospice. The lumps on her chest have shrunk, and the doctor's having a hard time explaining it. We know what it is. I can't wait till she goes back. It's only been good news since. The only thing now, she talks about getting her weight back up some more, but she said she's got the energy she had when she's 40 and she's over 65. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
What a miracle. He's a miracle working God.
Wow.
Hallelujah. I'm going to put that in your Bible.
Yeah,
praise the
that.
Lord. You need that one.
Healing by cell phone.
And they're happening today, right here, right now.
Glory to God.
Glory.
There's a song about that. Yeah.
No, I didn't know.
There's a song about that.
Did you
Jesus
just write
Jesus on the cell phone. Tell him what you want.
That's right. Amen.
Well, Gloria, this is Delita from Raleigh, North Carolina. And she believes that her eyes are healed. The diagnosis was 20/400 in both eyes, which is legally blind. And Delita, tell how it's been.
The Lord impressed me to believe him for perfect vision 5 years ago. And I've been healed from so many things, but I just didn't seem to be able to get there. And today I took it. And even now I can see the leaves on all these trees.
Praise
and
God.
I couldn't see that before. I absolutely believe I have received 20/10 vision in both eyes, and I don't care what it looks like. I have it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Great.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is Charmaine from Virginia, and Charmaine, I want you to tell them about your healing.
Thank you. When Gloria mentioned arthritis, I felt flowing through my joints over a period of several years, actually, with my toes and hips had been coming stiffer and stiffer, very painful. My fingers the last several months had been at a point where I'm a waitress and I roll silverware. I have to roll a lot of it throughout the days. There would be times that I'd have tears in my eyes because I couldn't physically roll through the... Anyway, it was painful. And I can literally, every finger can touch the hand. And I have to wear these flat shoes and whatnot. I haven't been able to wear heels for years, which I probably won't anyway because I'm unaccustomed anymore. But my right toe, my big toe, it can bend.
Thank you, Jesus.
I can even jump.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Gloria, this is Jimmy LaCour from Rochester, New York. She was here last year, and she knew something was wrong in her body, but she didn't quite know what it was. She did come up for healing, and I'll let her explain the rest.
Okay.
I came up from healing, and the pastor that just shared ministered to me, and I knew that the healing power of God had gone into my body. In January, the doctor said, "You have cancer." My daughter, who's a spirit-filled woman of God, said, "Liar!" Well, I did get to explain to him later that we weren't denying that what he said didn't exist, but we denied its right to exist in me.
That's why.
Okay, that's right. So I did have surgery. Before I went into surgery, I asked the Lord for a specific scripture, and he gave me Psalm 108. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth, that thy beloved will be delivered." I am his beloved.
Amen.
I was delivered. And no further treatments. After I went back for my six-week checkup, the doctor said, "There's only one reason that I'd want to see you again, and that's if you're pregnant." Well, I'm 64 years old. That's not going to happen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Those of you watching on by television and internet, you know, you just get right in with us on this. Email us your testimony. Tell people around you. Tell people what God's done for you. Give your testimony today. And then also write us and let us know. We want to share. We're just so glad that you could be with us today. And the power of God's present right where you are, just like he is right here. Hallelujah.
Hey, baby.
Hi, honey. Hi, Gloria. This is Gabby, and she's 7. And last night she had a dream of you, that she came to the healing service, and she was totally healed and delivered from all asthmatic symptoms.
Amen.
And she feels totally healed today.
Hallelujah.
Her lungs are clear.
Thank you.
No coughing.
That's
Gabby, would you like to say something?
You had a dream, did you? Mm-hmm. And it came to pass. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you that she is totally delivered from asthma. She'll never have it again. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And I thank you for the blessing on her life. She's yours.
Amen.
And she'll obey you all the days of her life in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's great, great, great. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus, for healing her. Praise God.
Gloria, this is Maggie Shepherd, and she's from Corners Point, New Jersey. And when she came in here today, she had arthritis symptoms in her knee and tingling in her toes, and she took it. Something else. She didn't take what she had. She took something else. Tell them about
it. Praise God, she's healed.
I'm taking my healing.
Amen.
I thank God the leg is better. You know, it's healed. And the toes, I don't have that numbness in there. I came to receive, and I have it.
Aha!
Yeah.
Glory to God. That's faith.
Hallelujah.
That's what faith does. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning, Gloria.
We take it.
This is my new friend, Thomas Huffman, from Stanton, Virginia. And he just had hernia surgery on Monday. And I thank God for the healing. All
glory
the soreness is gone.
Hallelujah.
Thank God has healed him.
Thank you, Gary. Praise God.
God spoke to me and said, "You are going to be in this meeting. I have something for you." I had surgery Monday morning, a hernia operation. I can bend over.
Glory to God.
I couldn't bend over before because the soreness is gone. I had back pain. I was in a car accident years ago. My back constantly hurts.
Hallelujah. Jesus!
The soreness is gone.
Glory to God.
I thank God.
Jesus.
I thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
True.
Woo, we rejoice with you.
Hallelujah.
Glory, this is Cindy Fry. She's from Scottsdale, Pennsylvania. And Brother Copeland announced somebody's feet. And she immediately felt something going on in her feet. And I'm going to let her tell you.
Okay. I have foot spurs. I had foot spurs. And I was just praying, "Lord, I just know I'm going to be healed of those, and you've taken it, and Satan, you got to go." And I can stomp on my
Hallelujah.
Foot. If you have foot spurs, you can't do that. So I'm praying. And I also am receiving, I am healed from diabetes in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Thank
God
you, Lord.
The glory. Uh-oh, there's a cane nobody
Lord,
needs
we have
anymore.
Here today, I'm Lenora from Washington, D.C. She came in the building this morning. She came in with a cane. saying that her knees were in pain and she'd been having some struggles with her knees. But as Brother Copeland ministered the word about moving your knees and the word, she took her healing. And she says the pain is gone.
Hallelujah.
And she doesn't need this cane.
Hallelujah.
And I want to thank you because last year you showed my story on your program on April 20th, 2008, when we fought a foreclosure and won using 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God will turn it around. Thank you.
God. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Stay right here.
She's healed.
I just, in light of Veterans Day, we want to honor you, sir. This is Kenneth Dunlap, and he is a Mastery Gunnery Sergeant, correct, in the Marine Corps. Gunnery Sergeant, you got to help me. I'm not a military guy, but we want to just thank you for all your service to the United States, and we want to thank you for what you do. God bless you, my man.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We say thank you. Bless the Lord.
Jay?
Yes, Gloria. This is Dawn Shaw from Woodbridge, Virginia. She's been a partner with the ministry for 18 years now. And
thank
she's
you.
Been, for the past month, she's had real difficulty in her neck, real stiffness. But when Kenneth was speaking and when you laid hands on Kenneth, she felt God's power, and I'm going to let her tell you.
Well, I just started turning my head. I haven't been able to for many weeks, about a month or so. Just extreme pain just to even slightly turn my head. And I just started turning my head from shoulder to shoulder, and it was free. I could
Praise
do it
the
now.
Lord.
Thank you,
Glory
Jesus.
Glory to God. Healing anointing. Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Gloria, this is Stanley Woodyard from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And Stanley, you can tell what God healed you of.
Well, when Brother Copeland had mentioned about the ringing of the ears, that was me. And right now I have no ringing in my ears. I couldn't tell right away until I put my finger in my ears, and it's silent. That's a wonderful blessing.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Gloria, this is Dawn from New Windsor, New York. About 6 months ago, she was having problems with her bones in her right toe. Brother Copeland today started talking about bones. She couldn't wear her shoes, and so now she can be able to move her toes. She used to do yoga. It's not hurting today. She has no pain. And she wants to also talk about her 17-year-old daughter who's right here who just got healed today.
What happened with your daughter?
God.
My 17-year-old daughter 2 weeks ago had excruciating pains in her stomach. She went to the hospital. They said she had liver infection. And I was believing, gave her the book that had done such great, the words that heal, that did such great healing, believing that word. And I left my copy with her. And I tell her to believe. The pain is stopped. She's still on the antibiotic. But today she said she's healed. And I, as her mother, know I have that authority to claim the healing for my daughter and my household. And she's a little shy, don't want to come and speak. But I'm not shy to claim that my daughter is healed and to tell the devil to take his hand off of my 2 children and my household. Because for me and my household, as according to Joshua, we shall be healed, strong, and serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
You know, we've been talking about taking something, taking your healing, taking your deliverance. And I just now remembered, that's what we talk about when we say authority. We take authority. And that's exactly what she's doing.
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It works.
There are drive-thrus and there are takeouts. This is a takeout. Amen.
This is Lynn and her friend Rebecca, and they're from Pennsylvania. And last year, Lynn was in so much pain that Rebecca drove her here to attend healing school. And I'll let her tell the rest.
What happened?
Well, I came in such tremendous pain that I couldn't even sit up. I laid on the back pew for the first day and a half of this conference. And I was skeptical when I came here. And I had tried to watch Kenneth on TV, and just his demeanor and just his presentation, I couldn't listen to the message, but I'll tell you what happened when I was here. The Spirit and the truth got through to me. And the healing came. During the prayer, I had a healing. I felt the physical healing enter into my body. And I am a reporter. And I'll tell you, I am taught to be objective. And I know reporters have been critical of this ministry, and I praise God. But you know what happened last year? I had that healing experience, and I didn't come up. Something stopped me. It was something that someone had said negative about this ministry, and I let that stop me from praising God. But you know what? This year I had to get up. I had to get up, and I have to say and praise God for the healing that happened here, that happened through your ministry, and I thank you for that.
Thank you for that testimony. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And
she
drove herself this year.
She drove herself this year. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Here comes my lovely wife, Kathy, with another pretty lady. What's going on here, Kathy?
This is Pamela from Maryland, and she's been diagnosed with Joseph's disease. It's kind of like MS, she said. And she had a great experience this morning. She's had constant pain in her back. Pamela, tell Gloria what happened.
Okay, well, I have recently been diagnosed with Machado Joseph's disease since 2007. And it's the type of disease that messes with your balance and your gait. Your muscles spasm constantly, and you have back pain. And as Kenneth Copeland was up here preaching, saying any type of arthritis, and that's what I chalked it up to be, is arthritis. And as he said, I'm like, that's me. So I started praising God and thanking God for the healing. I had to test it one more time. I got out my seat because usually it's pain and agony, and it's a struggle to get out my seat by myself. Mm-hmm. But I just lifted up and got out my seat, and I said, you know what? Thank you, Father, for this
healing.
Hallelujah. I have
healed.
To go testify.
Glory to God.
No pain.
Thank you, Lord.
No pain.
No pain.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. That's great. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The word works.
Alan, what is going on over here with this good-looking man of God?
I'm with Michael Kulik, and he's from Mount Bethel, Pennsylvania. He has a 10-year condition concerning his scalp associated with arthritis. And when Kenneth said something about arthritis, he said he felt the Holy Spirit from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And I'll let him tell the rest.
It was before he actually said it. I had my hands up, and I was praying. And I felt the chill from the top of my scalp to the bottom to my feet run right through my body. And the second later, he said, arthritis is healed. And my psoriasis is part of arthritis. And the itching stopped, and I just know.
Praise
I took
God.
My healing. I took my healing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Jay, you have somebody here?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Jay Plourd from New York City. Come on up, ladies and gentlemen.
We've got two partners all the way from Honduras. They came up specifically for this meeting.
Praise God.
They've been partners for just a couple months. And this is Isidro and Wendy. And they said that Isidro has been having a tremendous amount of pain in the back of his ear for years. And when you were teaching, he took it. He took the healing, and he received it, and the pain is gone.
Praise
and he is
the
healed.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, they don't speak much English, but Wendy has been dealing with insomnia and also anxiety and fear. And she believes she's taken her healing. She's taking
it.
She believes she's received
she's
right now.
It. We have it in Jesus' name.
We just want to praise the Lord because he has been good with us. I take my healing by faith. I have been hearing your preachings from a few months ago, and I'm believing Jesus took my healing.
Amen.
My sickness and pain, because I have been suffering from a pain in my neck, in my shoulder. Of anxieties and fear, I know that Jesus
Yeah. It's my healer.
Amen. We receive it. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Siento la unción de Dios.
I feel the unction of God on me, the Holy Spirit on me, the anointing of God on me.
Desde el año pasado,
since last year,
me dolía la oreja izquierda.
I had a pain in my ear, left ear.
Y por veces no tenía dolor.
And it would come and go.
Ya como al mes me volvía otra vez.
Like it would come and go every month.
Y yo creo.
And I believe.
Lo tengo.
And I have it.
Lo recibo.
I receive it.
Y nunca más.
And never more.
Me dolerá la oreja.
My ear will hurt no more.
Porque he sentido.
I have felt.
La unción de Dios en esta tarde.
The Spirit of God this afternoon.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Gracias.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Here's
Gloria.
Somebody over here, Lenny. We have a one over here, too.
Gloria, this is Sandra. She was ran over with a cleaning cart in 2005, had torn ligaments in her shoulders, had to have surgery on her feet, and was in therapy. When you prayed today, she feels now no pain. She can bend her knees. She can raise her feet. She has not been able to do that. She can bend and walk. She feels totally restored.
Hallelujah.
Did you say she was run over by
a cleaning cart at work and had to have surgery?
I've never heard that testimony before.
Oh, my goodness. Like the young lady had said before, and you were talking, and when we first came in, there was a lady on the screen that said, even in the pain, I had to start by serving God because Satan would just keep me so bound. I would lay in that bed, wake up all hours of the night in pain, and I said, I'm not taking this no more.
That's right.
God, you gave me a gift to sing for you. I'm going to praise you through the pain.
Amen.
And he has helped me each and every day and every Sunday. I thank God for my church and my pastor. They help me. They see me walking
down.
Sometimes I'm like, I ain't taking that cane today.
That's right.
Hey. The car, no more. Out in the car is the boot.
Not taking it. There's anymore.
A brake. I don't claim it, and I thank you, Jesus, for my healing. It feels so good not to have constant pain. Thank you, Lord. I take it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's great. One of the things you need to take home from this meeting is I have to take it with my faith. Now, she said, I'm not taking it anymore. That's the same thing.
Right.
I'm not taking that anymore. I'm taking my healing, my prosperity, my money I need. I'm taking it with my faith. So if you get that, if you get that to lose your faith, you have to take the answer based on the Word of God, you can change everything in your life by the
Gloria,
power of
this
God.
This is Mary Williams from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. She caught the train up here, and she came having pain in both of her thighs. But as the healing went forth, she stood up, and I let her tell the rest.
The pain began to leave, began to go down, because it was coming up from my ankle all the way up to my groin on both legs. And I said, I heard before I came here that you need to go to healing school. And see, the storm and the flood was there. But I said, if I could get this car to Rocky Mount, I'm going to healing school, and I'm going to get my healing because I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this downtime. So here I am, glory to God, and I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I won't have that pain no more. I won't have it no more in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Glory to God.
Amen.
We're taking
Amen.
It.
That's
Amen.
Good.
Gloria, I don't want to mess up her name, so I'm going to let her tell her whole testimony.
Okay.
Yeah, hi, my name is Monica Gutierrez. I'm coming from Springfield, Virginia. I got a special church that has been growing myself and in my heart. I can testify today that I was having a pain over my right shoulder for one whole week, and the pain totally disappeared during the service.
Right.
So thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus, for that.
And also want to share with everybody, I don't know if I'm on TV or no, but Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And he was my he's my password from my computer at work. So I don't know. At work, they told me that I cannot pray for anybody and I cannot say the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But he's a healer and he will be a healer forever.
Yes,
amen.
That's right. Amen. God is the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus
amen.
Is the healer. Hallelujah.
Debbie Harris from Virginia Beach and Brother Copeland, he read her mail.
What happened, Debbie?
I've had really bad pain in my feet for probably 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. When I get up in the morning, it's like walking on hot coals or needles. And it's just been extremely painful. And I'm like, Lord, I know I'm a woman of faith. I have great faith. I said, why can't I seem to get past this? And I mentioned it to my husband, and, you know, we were just kind of standing, you know, believing. Well, this morning when Brother Kenneth said, you know, somebody, you've been waking up and your feet are hurting, and I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I was just so amazed that God would call me out like this and tell me, I am healed. I am healed.
Praise God.
I have fought
the Lord
fibromyalgia and all these other things. I have fought it so long and so hard. But I know that today is the day of my salvation.
Yes,
today is the day of my healing.
Thank you, Lord. We take it.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good?
Kathy, who you got here?
We've got Emma Walker from Columbia, Maryland, and she had an extreme injury in both her knees. Emma, tell them what happened.
Yes, I have torn meniscus, I had, in both knees from exercising, strenuous exercise, and I never stopped, and they just got worse. And when Brother Copeland called out knee, they termed it as arthritis. And so I've been claiming healing. And so I felt like both knees relieved from pain. I went to the ladies' room to check them out really good to make sure. And I even ran a little bit. And I said, oh, yes. I wanted to come up and testify.
Yes,
because
please.
God really blessed me.
Good.
And I'm grateful.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You're healed. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for every testimony. We thank you for every healing that's happened in this place or out all through the country where they're watching the television, this healing service on television. We thank you. We give you all the glory. Thank you for every healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was great. Those were great testimonies.
So much fun. Amen.
If you are here and if you're here, you're here, right? I guess you're here. But if you haven't been able to perceive any change in your body, doesn't mean that you didn't receive your healing. It means that you stay with it and you until every symptom's gone. But if you feel led that you would like for us under those conditions, if the symptoms are still there as far as you know, and you would like for us to lay hands on you for healing, that's something that God's put in the church, and we'll do that. I don't want you to come for other people, but it's just for you. If you're here, or you could bring a handkerchief up or something, you know, we could lay hands on cloth for somebody else. But if you feel led, if you feel that that's what you need, if you're impressed to do that, we will lay hands on you because that's certainly scriptural. This Bible says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those of you who have already taken hold, you don't need hands laid on. You've already taken it. Glory to God. I tell you, if we can just get that word take into our lifestyle of receiving, you're going to see a big difference in the time it takes to get things done. So if you want to do that, just go to either side. And Tracy Harris is going to help me lay hands on people. If you feel impressed to do that, we want you to be able to receive whatever you believe the Lord wants you to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And then the rest of you, I want y'all to pray and believe God. And as we lay hands on people, you be praying and believing. And those of you watching on television, you pray, believe God. And you have a laying on of hands service right there where you are. Have somebody do that. We praise you. We thank you. We bless you, Lord. So you guys that are just out there watching, you be praying and believing God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on the people in Jesus' name. We thank you for healing every sickness and every disease in Jesus' name. Now, when hands are laid on you, that's when you take your healing. You take it and you keep it. Amen. And you have it. You say, I have it. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name, I command you to be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Glory to God. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. I command your sight to come and you see in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus.
For the healer is in the house today. For the healer is in the house today. And for you he's made a way. Ask and believe our faith receive. For the healer's in the house today. Oh, the healer's in the house today. And for you he's made a way. Ask and believe our faith receive. For the healer's in the house today. Yes, the healer's in the house today. And for you he's made a way.
Set me free. I'm so glad my Jesus set me free.
He got the sun. Jesus, set me free.
I'm singing
glory, hallelujah. Jesus, set me free.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad
that
Jesus set me free.
Well,
I'm so glad
that
Jesus set me free.
Well,
I'm so glad
that Jesus set me free.
I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Well, sickness has bound,
but Jesus set me free.
Oh, sickness has bound,
but Jesus set me free.
Oh,
sickness has bound,
but Jesus set me free.
I'm singing glory,
hallelujah.
Jesus set me free.
I'm so glad,
I'm so glad,
oh, that Jesus set me free.
Yeah,
I'm so glad,
oh,
Jesus set me free.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
free. Yeah, I'm so glad. Oh, that Jesus set me free. Yeah, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm saying, glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
I'm so glad, yeah.
I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free.
Jesus' name.